Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
Welcome to Chatterbox with your host, Alon and Sean. Alon and Sean will spend the next hour talking about the latest and greatest in the gaming world. And now here's your host, Alon and Sean.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio on April 17th. It's a Sunday, as always. Now, for those of you listening on a podcast or a recordings or whatever, make sure you check out chatterboxgameshow.com for all the news on the latest in the show so that you can listen live next time. Of course, lots of you are listening live right now, so thank you very much. Sean, not in the studio right now, totally bailed out. He called in like 3 minutes before the show, said, I'm not going to make it, so maybe he'll call in. But I don't know. Tracy said he would. For right now, Tracy, you're the man. You're the co-host.
I have an over-under. I am giving him like a half hour he'll call in.
Half hour to call in? That's an awfully big over-under.
Well, we're talking about Sean here.
That's true. All right. Well, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I say 5 minutes. Or he's fired!
5 minutes.
Is that trademarked by Trump? Can I say you're fired?
Well, we're doing it as a parody of Trump, so
okay,
we can't get in trouble.
All right. So this week, here's what we've got going on for this week's show. We are supposed to have Kurt Squire and Constance Steinkuhler, I hope I pronounced that properly, gaming researchers on education, learning, society, all that stuff. They're going to be calling in for the next segment for about half an hour, hopefully. Now, I know they just came back from a trip in Europe, so hopefully they will be calling in and talking to us. But if not, we'll interview them sometime later, right?
That's big time.
Hopefully they'll call in. Now, there's other stuff I wanted to talk about. I promised last week we would cover physics. Now, we've talked about this in the past, but now there's all this news that came out recently about the Aegea company and their physics coprocessor. And so I want to talk about that in a little bit more detail and my concerns. I always have concerns about new technologies, right? You never hear me going, oh, this is going to be great. No questions asked.
Yeah, you're not like someone else.
Yeah. So anyway, I have my concerns, but we'll talk about that. And I'm actually working on getting one of the guys from Aegea to come do the show. And we'll have an interview so you guys can even ask them questions of your own if you have similar concerns. Now, we'll do that later in the show. But right now, I'll talk about the games I've been playing lately. We always start off the show with what we've been playing. I have been playing Splinter Cell Chaos Theory. Have you had a chance to actually touch this, Tracy?
Yeah, I've picked it up, and I did. I'm waiting for one of my friends to come over because I want to play it in the co-op. I don't want to play the single player.
See, the only thing I've done so far is played co-op. And my roommate, who has a copy of the game as well, right? He's on the LAN at the house, and so we would play together. That's the only way I play. Didn't play on Xbox Live, didn't play single player, didn't even play Versus, just co-op LAN. Now, here's what I'm upset about first. I guess I'll do the good stuff later, right? I'm upset that every time we stop playing and, like, call it a day, unless we died, right, it's because the game kicked us off. Like, somehow we lost the link to each other. But we're on our own network. It pisses me off.
That's...
So, like, yesterday we finally got further than we've ever gotten. We played for hours on this first level. Never gotten past the first level. But we play hours. That's how good this game is. And then all of a sudden it cuts out for no reason.
That's there's something wrong with that. Are you sure all your connections are right?
Dude, it wouldn't play at all if something was wrong, right? We played for like an hour and a half. Everything was fine. And then suddenly it cuts out. So I'm upset about that because then I finally get somewhere where I'm ready to play and like continue on. I figured out where I'm supposed to go and what information I'm supposed to get from this computer or that secret, whatever. And then we get kicked off. And it's happened more than once. It doesn't happen very frequently. Like I said, we played for a couple hours before it kicked us off. But like, Then he had to go do something else. We had to stop playing. It was really, really annoying me. There's also another little bit. Every time I start playing, I have to change the options to put his voice through my headset. I shouldn't have to do that. It should be stored. It should know that I always want to hear him through my headset as long as I do it once and save the game.
Yeah.
I don't know what the problem is, but it's bugging me. And
Are you guys in different rooms? You don't have the Xboxes near each other?
Yeah, he's upstairs in his bedroom, and I'm downstairs in the living room.
Okay.
Right.
Just trying to get a visual.
Keep trying. I always have to put his voice through my headset and change the options. That bugs me. But I got to tell you, once we get the voice through the headset, it becomes a very immersive game. And so this Ubisoft company who's put out a bunch of these Splinter Cell games, they do a good job. Although apparently they let a few bugs fall through. Maybe they'll fix it with an update, which is something else for me to complain about, the updating of games past release, right?
Yeah.
But
get them right the first time.
At very least, maybe it'll help me play a better game, right? So I've really gotten into this game, even though, like I said, I never got past even the first level. It's probably the most like immersive and realistic or game that felt realistic to me, of any game that I've played. Because like, you go over here, you lean down, lift me up to this vent, and I'll jump here, and then you get this guy. But the great part is, right, you start off the first level, there's three guys you got to kill, and there's no light anywhere. Now, if I were a terrorist, I would have lights everywhere. I mean, if I'm holding my own compound, I don't have to worry about cops finding me, right?
Yeah.
Lights everywhere. But no, they've got a lot of darkness, which is key for this game, so I understand. So there's two little spies, crawling around all low, trying to find where these three guys are going to walk near them without being in light so that we can, tackle them and beat the crap out of them. Now, the thing is, like, it's got instead of just a light meter like the previous games, it's got a sound meter, and we've got our headsets on. So if I talk to him, first of all, my character is making sound so somebody could hear me, and then there's sound coming through his headset, right, that could alert somebody else. So I have to, like, I'll be, psst, hey, are you near the guy? Are you going to get him? Don't kill him. Just hurt him. Lay him on the ground. I'll come over and kick his ass. I really enjoy that. I got to be quiet, and it makes me think, like, every part of me is in this game. Until my roommate comes and plops his laptop down next to me and plays World of Warcraft. But until that happens, I'm completely immersed in this game. And, not completely, but I enjoy it a lot. And I have to hand it to him. The voice part of the game has been integral to my experience. And so that is definitely attributed to Xbox Live and their voice over IP stuff that they've been doing. So I really appreciate that. And if you ever want to play co-op, dude, just come on over.
Yeah, I'm because I was so excited about playing co-op, I played both players trying to get through the demo. It's like, okay, I have one hand on one controller, another hand on another controller. I'm like, this is so cool. But yeah, it didn't work very well.
You've got a little girl. She can play with you.
Yeah, she's not into those type of games. I just got her The Sims. And she thinks that's awesome.
You know what game is like The Sims? We were talking about this. Playboy the Mansion.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to let my 9-year-old play that.
Okay.
I wouldn't even play it if she was in the same room as me.
Good choice. I can understand. Some people in the room have ethics. All right, so I talked about my Splinter Cell experience. You apparently haven't gotten enough out of the game, but you will one day. Now, I mentioned that they might put out an update. That's total speculation on my part because it's buggy. And I know Microsoft is kind of touchy on letting people release updates because they don't want to be considered a company that allows that stuff to happen all the time, right? But Microsoft themselves are letting Bungie, their own company, release an update tomorrow for Halo 2. Now, this is big news, and I suspect their servers are going to be crowded tomorrow. They claim it's not so much a bug update, which it is doing, correcting a lot of bugs and glitches, and I have no problem because a game that good deserves to do whatever the hell it wants. They're also releasing, or rather changing the game, a lot of the weapon balancing, right? So you don't play a lot of Halo 2, right?
I play it. I'm just not online, and isn't that what most of the updates for is to fix?
It's for multiplayer. I think it applies to all multiplayer, not co-op, but all the multiplayer versus stuff.
Yeah,
not just live.
The only time I played multiplayer is that one time me, you, and a couple of my friends were hanging out. And
yeah, so it gave you an idea of the game, though. Unfortunately, you didn't get a feel for all, like, the details of it. But one of the things that's happened is, like, the developers have this image in their mind of how the game's going to work. Suddenly you have, millions of people playing this game every day online, and you discover that it's not really going the way you want. And so, like, in the original Halo, you couldn't have two weapons at once. Or you couldn't have two weapons at the same time, right? You had to switch between one or the other. And so dual wielding has become, like, too powerful, and they decided they want to make grenades a little more powerful and make some of the weapons more powerful in different situations, and also make melee attacks a lot more powerful. And so they're redistributing balancing stuff. They're rebalancing, is what I should say, the weapons and the power of different things in the game. So I'm very excited about that, because I sort of liked Halo, where, like, I'd use just the Magnum or whatever weapon, right? And also have grenades accessible, which you can't do when you're dual wielding. And they figured that they wanted it to go back to that way as well. They wanted more diversity in weapon use. So, update tomorrow. Go on to Halo 2 live and play with the new setup and tell me what you think. You can always call in next week. For those who do want to call in this week and talk about anything, especially physics in games and the new AGEA chip, I want you to call in at 602-277-KFNX. If you're listening online, go to chatterboxgameshow.com, and we've got our 800 number right there, and you can give us a call toll-free. Now, hopefully, we will have our guests in after the break. We're going to break what? We got 1 minute?
Three before we go to break.
Three before break. All right, so I'll get into some of the things that are happening. Some news I just caught wind of this morning. Oddworld Inhabitants, they make the Oddworld games, Abe's Odyssey, Abe's Exodus. I think it was Abe's Exodus. Abe's Odyssey, Abe's Exodus, and then whichever one came out on the Xbox first, whatever it was called, Munch's Odyssey, that's what it was. And then the most recent Stranger Within, right? Lauren Lanning is the president of this company, or CEO or whatever. He's the big dog. He's stopping to make games. No more Oddworld games at all, which is very surprising to me, because initially they set out for this to be like a big series of 7 games, of which they've only been 3, because the second one on PlayStation didn't count, they said. All right, so they were going to make this big whatever-ology of 7 games in the Oddworld universe. And one of the most striking parts of these Oddworld games to me has been the CG rendered movies. And they've decided to now just go into making movies. And one of his complaints, he said this wasn't the exact reason that he chose to get out of gaming, but one of his big complaints was that I don't know what the situation with them and EA is. I don't know if EA flat out bought them or if they just got the rights to release their games or something, but EA is integral to the release of Oddworld games. They're probably just the publisher. They tried to get the newest game, Stranger Within, which I told you I didn't even like that much, but apparently everyone else did, so it got really good reviews. They tried to get it running on the PS2. They just being EA, right? I guess Lauren Lanning said in the interview that EA tried to port it over, and they couldn't get it running. And according to him, one of the rules at EA is that if you don't have it, he said, in all SKUs, which I guess means for GameCube, Xbox, and PlayStation 2, or at very least for both PlayStation 2 and Xbox, they're not going to market it. So that's why you didn't see any advertising for this game. All you saw was magazine and word of mouth and stuff, and me saying I didn't like it. So they didn't advertise it, and he's like, he's all pissed because Metacritic.com, which takes, it sort of collates the reviews from lots of different websites and online reviewers, right? They put them all together. They give you sort of an average score. He said he got a 9.6 on Metacritic, but nobody knows about this game, right? The people who do know like it, but it's a sleeper hit, and it shouldn't be, especially from a company with their sort of history of success. And he also said, like, he wouldn't have even been able to make the game if he didn't have that history of success behind him. But the bottom line is, now, because of all the stress related to making a game and all the money that goes into it, he decided they're going to get out of it and just make media that they're going to have more control over, keep their intellectual property, which they somehow managed not to give up through their deal with EA and stuff. And they're gone. So no more Oddworld games. Oddworld games. Which sucks, because they were good games. Anyway, it's time to go to break. Hopefully we'll have an interview next segment, but they still haven't called in, so I don't know. We might have to push them back till next week. Keep listening. We'll be right back in a few minutes after these messages.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. uat.edu.
All right, folks, thank you for tuning in once again to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. Remember to check out chatterboxgameshow.com for the latest info on our show and what we're going to be doing. Also, if you want to get into the industry, be a developer, either in the arts or programming field, take a look at uat.edu, University of Advancing Technology, excuse me, one of the best schools for that sort of thing, and they are right here in Tempe, Arizona. All right, so I promised I'd be talking about physics. I also promised I'd have an interview. What do you think we should do, Tracy? Interview or talk about AGEA?
I say we do physics.
Okay, good, since we don't have any guests on the line. This is what's happening. We're stalemated. All right, so I'm going to talk to our guests, Kurt Squire and Constance Steinkühler, about pushing them back to another week. I promise you it'll actually be an interesting interview if they call in to do it. So, in the near future, and I'll keep it updated on the website. All right, so AGEA, A-G-E-I-A. I don't know what it stands for. It's all capital letters. I couldn't figure it out. Anyway, I got an email a couple weeks ago from some guy. I don't know who. He said, you know, I wish you'd talk about AGEA. They're supposed to have this physics processing unit, which is supposedly going to be in the next Xbox. And so I went to their website, AGEA.com, and I tried to figure out some sort of link between them and Microsoft, and there was nothing. And then, lo and behold, a few days later, all this news breaks. AGEA's got a physics processing unit, kind of like a graphics processing unit, you know, with all the video cards. They've got this new chip that could be put in a new card to do physics, which is something that I've been hearing about for a while now. At least the possibility of doing this, but never a specific company. And so anyway, all this news is breaking. There was an interview at TeamXbox.com of, I assume, like, big dog there, president or CEO or whatever, of AGEA, the company that's producing this chip. And it's really interesting to me. If you'll recall, many, many months ago, I don't remember what show it was, we talked about physics and how it could, like, change the landscape of gaming. Now, the reason I claim this is because basically I was playing a game that had some physics built in, and I said, hey, wow, this is a lot more fun than games I've played in the past because of the stuff I get to do with this. Like, basically, the issue at hand was that I had to get up to a ramp or just a platform, right? I had to get up to a platform that was high up, and all I had was this machine that could grab barrels and stack them in place. So there wasn't, like, I had to press a button to release some stairs to get up to this level, or I didn't have to get a jetpack so I could fly up there, or whatever. I just had to use my little machine to grab stuff, stack them up, so I could get as high as I needed to be. And I thought, hey, that's really neat, because it's not a predetermined method of doing something. And what a physics processing unit will allow games to do is just that, but on a much wider scale. Instead of taking away from the processor to do that, which means you get less everything in the game, right? Less graphics and less movement and less enemies. You can have wide-scale physics operations in your environment, kind of like in Half-Life 2. But it's all going to be done by this special chip, so that even if your computer isn't great or your graphics processor isn't great, you can have these very interactive environments because you have this physics processing unit, if, of course, you have one. So, do you get my drift here, Tracy, why this could be so important?
Yeah, because it allows you to actually interact with the game more instead of the game telling you what you have to do. You do what you want to do to get to where you want to be.
Exactly. It creates a lot more realism, a lot more immersion, and that's the big buzzword these days. So in this interview with AGEA, one of the things that he kept saying is you can basically compare it to the graphics processing unit, the GPU, video card, evolution or revolution that happened in the last decade, right? First company to do this, 3DFX, came out with their Voodoo cards, and all these games, first-person shooters were the big thing, right? And they still are. They said, we're going to make use of this. So now, as long as you have one of these cards, your computer doesn't have to be the greatest thing on the planet because you've got this card that can take a lot of the load off. And he says, that revolution that happened, you know, over the period of a decade and is still happening is akin to what's going to happen with the physics processing unit. And here's, again, my concern. Right? I said I was going to mention this. My issue here is that back in the days of having a video card, what would happen if you didn't have one, right? You'd turn down the detail. You'd shrink the window of your Doom game. You'd bring the resolution down to 640 by 480. Do whatever you had to, but the game was still there because your processor could still handle it. It would be crappy looking, but the game would still be there, right? And now one of the points he makes in this interview is that, you know, you can have graphics, you can have a GPU or your video card that's the great thing, but all it does is enhance your graphics. It doesn't do much for the game. And if you pay attention to that enough, you'll realize why that's a problem for these PPUs, the physics processing units.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, back in the day, if you didn't have the latest and greatest video card, you just make it not as dependent by shrinking the game, the video actually displayed on the screen. But my point is that that didn't affect the gameplay. Now, with a physics processor, what's going to happen if you don't have it, right? If it's so important to gameplay, if he's even saying that physics is core to gameplay, then people are going to develop these games with the PPU in mind, right?
Yeah.
They're going to say, you need to have this physics processor to take care of all this stuff, which will allow you to do all these great things in the game. You'll be able to throw these barrels around and jump up and onto these things, get to the higher platforms, you'll be able to drop down on guys, throw stuff everywhere, you know. And, you know, I'm not the creative game designer genius, so I can't throw out a million reasons why physics is going to be the greatest thing ever for these games, but guaranteed, they're going to be integral to the gameplay. So, when you don't have one of these physics processing units, what happens? You can't play the game. You won't be able to do it all, because it's not like you can scale it back. You can't throw it all onto your processor, because it's just going to be too much. Hence, the need for this card to begin with. So, instead of being able to still experience the game, even though you don't have the technology that it was really meant for, right? What they're going to have to do is get this physics card into everyone's hands all at once in order for it to be useful. Because as we know from consoles, if not everybody on the planet has the technology that we're making a game for, nobody's going to make games for it. You remember the 32X for the Genesis?
Yeah.
Yeah, there were three games for it. You know why? I'm exaggerating, right? There were very few games because they knew that you had to have the Genesis and you had to have this thing, which costs more than a Genesis just to play this stuff. Then around the corner, of course, came a better system, which could do it all. So there's this, it's not really a rumor, but like I get the feeling, and people have asked them and they have sort of like avoided the question, whether or not this is going to be in any of the upcoming consoles, their new PPU. And they've avoided the question, and that's the answer though to making this actually work. If like the new Xbox 360 or Xenon or whatever they call it has this unit in it, it's going to be uniform. Everybody who plays the Xbox, the next Xbox, is going to have this processor in it, and it'll make it useful. It'll expose the whole idea to everyone, and they can start putting it on PCs, which is actually their first goal, to put it on PCs. And then it could take place in today's gaming environment. But if they don't get widespread acceptance, I have this concern that it's not going to really become accepted. Because you've got to get, like, motherboard manufacturers on the ball. Because people have to have slots for new cards, right? You can't just throw it in the computer you have now.
Yeah, it's going to have to be cheap and easy to install.
Yeah.
Because I know a little bit about computers, but...
Well, you'll be able to buy a system that has it all integrated, right? You go to the Best Buy or whatever.
Yeah,
and buy a computer,
yeah.
You'll have it built in. So I'm not worried about installation, but it definitely needs to not increase the price of the computers very much, and it has to be completely widespread to catch on. Now, the one caveat here is that maybe it'll initially be used in the first year just to, like, enhance graphics, right? You'll have people's hair flowing more nicely, and you'll have, you know, stuff blowing in the wind more realistically. And that's actually what they describe in the interview, that things will look more realistic, right? But he also goes on and talks about how integral it is to the gameplay. And so what really is going to make the difference and the revolution in gaming is application to gameplay, not just, you know, objects in the background. And I'm sure they've thought about all of this and they'll take it into account. But still, I'm concerned that they need to get it into enough people's hands all at once. Otherwise, it can't catch on. And I'd love to hear your comments on it, you being everybody who's listening. 602-277-KFNX. If you're local to Phoenix area, give us a call. If you're online, chatterboxgameshow.com, go to the website and find our toll-free number and give us a call. And I want to hear what you think about this. if it's really going to be this big revolution in gaming that I claim, or if I just don't know what I'm talking about. And Tracy, of course, tells me I don't know what I'm talking about all the time. So it's very possible.
That's about everything, though.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to cut to the news break. We will be back in just a few minutes. Again, give us a call, 602-277-KFNX. If you want to chat, we'll be right back with the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show on the new KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. I want to let everybody know who's listening in their cars, right? That I know usually when you listen to this station, it's all political or health-driven. But really, video games, they're healthy. You should pay attention because they're good for you. Especially games like DDR or something. Dance Dance Revolution, they keep you fit. And so if you're not used to listening to video game radio show, you should do it because we keep you informed. Maybe not politically correct, but at least we'll keep you interested and entertained while I'm not talking about physics and things that are conceivably boring to a lot of people. So for those who do like that sort of thing, we chatted a bit about it. And you can call us at 602-277-KFNX. To give me your own opinion, but I'm going to move on because really I have no feedback on whether or not you like this stuff. And to me, it started sounding way too technical. So I'm going to move on. Now, something we've covered in the past has been advertising in games. I don't know how much we've talked about it, but there's been this resurgence of it lately. We mentioned a while ago that this game Anarchy Online, it's a massively multiplayer game online, like all the massively multiplayer games are. And it went free. Normally, these games all have subscription models where you pay a monthly fee on top of the price for the game that you already paid. And then you start buying extra money for it on eBay so you can use it in the game. And you throw all sorts of hard-earned income into this game, some of which goes to developers, some doesn't. So Anarchy Online decided it's going to be free. And we thought, now how is that possible, right? How are they going to do that? And we knew it was because of advertising in the game. And so there's this company... like that's actually devoted just to seeking out advertising and gaming, which really smart idea if you ask me. They're going to be in serious money because it's happening a lot. Even the new Splinter Cell has it. But Anarchy Online takes this to new levels, right? Where you've got billboards in the game, and this is a game that takes place, you know, in another galaxy far, far away in the future and whatever. Futuristic environment, right? Nobody's drinking Mountain Dew, right? But there you go on a billboard. You've got, I don't know, for Nike or whatever stuff that doesn't exist in the game exists on these billboards simply for the user's eyeballs. And actually, if you pay the subscription fee for Anarchy Online, which you can do, those ads go away. So like it's proof they know, or we know that they know, that nobody wants to see these ads, but they put them in there and that's how they're making money. And so there's good and bad here. Obviously, if I like that game, I get to play it for free, which is what I've been searching for the whole time. The reason I don't play MMOs, aside from the fact that I think they're boring, is that I would have to pay for that boredom. And I'm much more likely to do it when it's not going to cost me money.
I can't get it to download correctly. I've tried.
Anarchy Online?
Yeah.
That's a big problem.
Yeah, I've tried several times, and I can't get it to do, like, download it through BitTorrent, so I try it, and it errors. And then they're like, download it from this website, and then you got to sign up, and you got to do this. And I'm like, you know what, it's not even worth it.
You should be able to download it from their own website.
They send you somewhere else.
You're kidding me?
Yeah.
Wow, that's funny.
Yeah.
Because I
would have done it. I'm like, free? Yeah. I'm thinking about going out and buying the Matrix game just because I want something different.
Do you have friends telling you that you should play Matrix Online?
No. No one. That's the one reason why I haven't done it, because it's funner when you do have friends playing with. But I'm sure if I went on there and I played long enough, I'd meet people. But
well, you could be the impetus. You could suck other people in.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I only know a couple people that do it in real life, and I don't think Sean's moving off of World of Warcraft, and I don't think anybody else is.
Nobody apparently is leaving that game. So
World of Warcraft's horrible.
Oh, my gosh.
If you disagree with me, call me.
Everybody disagrees with you except me, but that's just because it's an MMO. So anyway, there's advertising in games, and there's a company called Massive Inc. who's making a big deal out of advertising in games, and they say it's going to be like a $1 billion business by 2010, which is, it's good and bad. The bad part here is that it's going to find its way into a bunch of games that I'm going to pay for. You know, like I said, it's in the Splinter Cell game, so people go out and spend their $50 or $55 on this game.
Ready to Rumble on Dreamcast was one of the first ones that I can major, because you're fighting in the background. There's billboards for Rockaware and stuff like that.
On the NES and in the arcade, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Domino's Pizza. Baby.
Yeah.
Actually, it was Pizza Hut, and then I think it might have been Domino's on the home system. I'm confused. That's seriously old. You can't fault me for not remembering that.
Yeah, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, first one that I ever noticed, and that was years ago. But like that's funny, because they liked pizza.
Yeah.
Right? It's a joke. But here there's going to be all this advertising and gaming, and the thing is that I guess nobody watches TV anymore. All the people in my age bracket, your 18 to 32 or whatever that bracket is, males, they play on the internet more and in video games more than they do watch television. So they're trying to develop new ways to get to my eyeballs. In a game where it sort of makes sense, like Matrix Online would be great for that, because it's, I don't know, why is it great in the Matrix? Because it's all about like the man. The government and perception and what you see.
Well, like, I could understand it'd be kind of cool. Like, if they put it up so you could blow up the billboard that the Mountain Dew product was on and made certain... that would be cool. You know what I mean? Make it part of the game, but be like for the Matrix, be like, okay, we got to go blow this up billboard and you get there and it's a Mountain Dew.
Companies would pay more money for that, though, because you're paying. They know that you're paying attention to that particular ad.
Yeah.
So I'll bet you that'll happen, that... you know, you have to go smash the Ferrari car in the new Grand Theft Auto or whatever, and make sure to be very Ferrari-ized. Anyway, as always, I have mixed feelings about this. I love the ability to play a game for free just because I look at a few ads. That's great. What I don't like is that it'll probably find its way in the rest of my games, and more companies will become like EA, where they're just pushing a bunch of junk at me. Anyway, we talked about EA and how they screwed Lord Lanning, right? I had to get my dig in for the week of why EA sucks. All right, so moving on to our next topic. We all know that E3 is coming along very soon, right? And we'll be going to E3. In fact, we're going to have someone from Official Xbox Magazine on the show right before E3 to talk about what it's like to go to E3. So I'm very excited about that. And I'm very excited to see the new Xbox and the new PlayStation and hopefully some info about the new Nintendo at the show. But while I'm scheduling these press conferences and to get into these things, they happen before the actual expo opens, right? Sony and Microsoft have theirs on the same day, on Monday, before the show starts on Wednesday. And Microsoft, or rather Sony, announced sometime last week, Monday or Tuesday or something, they said, we're going to have our press conference 3 hours before Microsoft has theirs. Now, if you had 3 hours to go between the conferences, that'd be great, but it starts 3 hours. And they usually take an hour or two. So I'm going to have to try and get into Sony's conference, watch their stuff, which are probably going to start late, go for a couple hours, and then try to make my way through LA of all places to get to Microsoft's conference. And so this really isn't all that interesting, except that it's like a Sony jab right at Microsoft. And now here's another cool bit, right? They mentioned this. Journalists all over the world are getting pissed off that they're not going to be able to go see both of these displays of the new systems. And then, like, the next day, I think it was, Microsoft announced that they're going to show their system on MTV before E3 ever starts. It's going to happen on Thursday. And actually, that week, Penny Arcade did a comic on this whole thing about how Sony and Microsoft are fighting each other about who's going to show their system first. Meanwhile, if they want to give me a call and tell me everything that they know and that they're willing to tell me about the system, I will listen. They can tell me right now, and they can just piss off Sony, or Sony could piss off more than either of them have hit each other already. Just give me a call. You know where to reach me, chatterboxgameshow.com. If Sony or Microsoft is listening, you just send me an email, and I will give you a call. Even if it's not toll-free, I'll jump in there. All right, so Sony pissed off Microsoft. Microsoft pissed off Sony. It's a big game. Now, something else that Sony did is that they, totally unrelated to E3, by the way, they got a patent for something new. And this happened, I think I found out about it on Sunday or Monday of last week. They got this patent to basically inject experiences. I don't know about it, whether or not it's games, but inject media into your brain, basically, without breaking through your skull or whatever. They were talking about some magnetic or whatever, where they can go into your head and they can make your brain experience these things. And they say that it's a patent, right, on a theory, right? Nothing that actually exists. They don't have any hardware in place that can do all this. But it's interesting nonetheless. What I found most interesting, and what nobody online or anything commented on, is that a couple of years ago, if you remember when the PS2 was coming out, all the ads for the PlayStation 2 were actually, they were showing ads for the PS9, for the PlayStation 9, and how it was this experience you had just in your head. You never touched a controller, you just like wore glasses or something on your head or whatever, and you experienced this game. And then a few years later, they come out with an actual patent, which is basically what they had ads for years ago, in an effort to realistically advertise their new PlayStation 2, which was all powerful. So I'm interested in the idea. I'd like to see what actually comes of it, like in the next two decades or something. It would be interesting to see. But it's just wacky that there's even news of this existing in the real world today, because it's just obscene that something like that could even, in theory, exist. Look at that. That's perfect timing, Tracy. All right.
I do what I can.
We're going to be right back in just a couple of minutes with our last segment of the day. Stay in touch with Chatterbox Video Game Radio on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
Much to my excitement, we are back with the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. Let me remind you all, if you love video games like I do and you want to get into the industry, you can check out uat.edu. That's the University of Advancing Technology, where you can learn how to make the art, the animation, the models, and program all your favorite games. Well, really not all your favorite games, but the games that you want to make, which down the line should hopefully be your favorite games. I also want to thank Blockbuster, by the way, because they provide me with a Game Pass, just like you could buy if you went to Blockbuster, where you can rent games unlimited.
I pay for mine.
As long as they have the game you want, which, well, they have the games I want sometimes. I like Blockbuster for that reason. All right, so I've talked about physics. I've talked about Sony. I kind of went on for Sony for a little bit too long. If anybody wants to call in to talk about any of that stuff or anything else, give us a call at 602-277-KFNX, or if you're on the internet at chatterboxgameshow.com, we've got our 800 number up there too. Give us a call. And now I've pretty much run out of stuff that I was prepared to talk about, but I know that Tracy was saying that he got Midnight Club 3 Dub Edition. Is that the official title of it?
Yep, I rented it from Blockbuster, and I'm a little annoyed. Just like, if you have Need for Speed Underground 2 or Need for Speed Underground 1, don't get Midnight Club, because they're the same exact game. there's no real difference except one set in a made-up world that's kind of like a cross between Vegas and L.A., and the other one's you can move to real cities. So you can be in San Diego, and then you're in Detroit or whatever.
So is this a case of one game copying another? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, that never happens.
Yeah, yeah. Midnight Club, the original Midnight Club, was probably one of the best games that I played at that time. And then Need for Speed kind of just started copying stuff. And then now they both do, you can buy real cars just like Gran Turismo, and you can make them better and you can tune them up and all that stuff. But you know what? If you do it in one game, there's no point of doing it in the other games. The one thing that I do like about Midnight Club is I can just say auto do it. I have $5,000, fix my car up. So I don't have to worry about doing it. I can go in the performance shop and just like fix it. And I hated in Underground where you had to spend your money on making your car look pretty. I'm like, I don't want my car to look pretty. I want it to be fast.
You had to?
Well, yeah, because to get to you had to get certain magazine covers and DVD covers, and your car had to be rated like a 6-star to get on a certain magazine cover. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care. Plus, the other thing, everybody's trying to make games more realistic. Let my car get beat up if I run into a wall. Don't let me turn around and drive away from it and have no scratches on it. If I'm driving on the beach in the water, let my car get dirty.
Well, this is an issue that a lot of racing games have had for a while, and you brought up Gran Turismo 3 doing that as well, and I think Gran Turismo 4 also doesn't allow for damage.
Yeah, you're running in the mud, and you don't even get any mud on. I remember, I think it was like Gran Turismo 2 that every once in a while you'd have to go get your car washed at least, and that would cause...
I think you do that in number 3 as well.
Do you?
But it doesn't get messy, it just sort of gets darker.
Yeah.
The car, and then it's suddenly shiny. Although, like, there are other things you'd have to do every once in a while, change your oil and stuff to actually improve the performance, but... Forza Motorsport from Microsoft, which comes out, oh gosh, sometime soon, I think in May, for the Xbox, that's supposed to have damage in the game. But I'll bet you that there are some companies that didn't allow their makes and models to be in the game because of that.
Yeah, because it's like, well, if I'm Ford and you're driving a Mustang, I don't want the Mustang to look beat up. But come on, let's be realistic. I'm not going to. There might be some idiots out there. I'm not going to play Midnight Club 2 and then start driving in the wrong lane of traffic just to try to get somewhere quicker. I'm not that stupid.
It's representation of their brand, and this is where accounting has gone wrong, or marketing. But what it's taken here is big money like Microsoft to say, listen, we're going to have all these companies in the game. They're all going to be damageable. You're going to let us do it, or you're not going to be in the game, and you're going to miss out because... we have this incredible game. Look at how great it is. Let it.
Well, yeah,
it's
like
damage.
Penalize me, because if I completely beat up my car and I can't turn around and buy the new engine that I want because I have to fix the damage to it, it just makes the game more realistic and it makes it more enjoyable. It's horrible. Come on, people. It's not that difficult.
Luckily, this is a common complaint and they're figuring it out. But I mean, I'm with you. They should not be so, you know, stuck on their brand that they can't allow it to be heard at all. Now, I found something here. Again, totally unrelated to what we were just talking about.
All right.
Unless there's anything else you want to keep talking about.
I was just going to vent about mercenaries. I already mentioned it to you off air.
I don't even want to talk about mercenaries. It's a waste of time.
If you want to make the game more difficult, don't make it more difficult to drive the cars. Don't make the cars a little bit less unstable. Make it easier for you to die. Make it easier for the car to blow up, but don't make it more unstable, where if you're doing the same exact thing that you did the deck before, and now it's... Oh, God. Game makers, come on, help me out here.
And that might have been, you know, partly due to laziness or time constraints or whatever. But listen to this.
All right.
This is a different news story. I actually saw this week, and I just forgot to mention it, right? That it would be interesting, right? This is actually covered by the AP, Associated Press... I guess it happened in New York, more than 60,000 pirated copies of Nintendo game consoles. I think what they mean are game cartridges, not consoles, were seized Wednesday during raids in New York and New Jersey. 4 people were arrested in a crackdown on the theft of popular games, such as, this is the funny part, Donkey Kong. We're talking original. Donkey Kong, Mario Brothers, which I'm sure they mean Super Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt, and baseball. Just simple baseball. You remember NES?
Yeah. Are they? Maybe they're talking about those things that you can buy in almost every mall that have every Nintendo game on them, and you know they're not legal because they don't have the Nintendo brand on them anywhere.
Those they already cracked down. I'm pretty sure this has been covered by a lot of gaming news sites lately. I'm pretty sure they're talking about old school cartridges. But as usual, you know, somebody could have misrepresented something in the newspaper here that I'm reading. But this is from Newsday.com, by the way, if anybody wants to read about it. Yeah, they cracked down on what they call popular games, Duck Hunt and Mario Brothers and Donkey Kong. Anyway, I just found it sort of funny. And there are a lot of people who do a much better job of making it sound entertaining and funny than I do. But it's silly, right? Cracking down on Duck Hunt pirates. I mean, certainly they should do it, but it's just not a popular game. And I don't know why they were doing it in the first place. If you're going to pirate a game, why an NES game?
Yeah, can't you get the emulators for that almost anywhere on the internet?
Well, my guess is that these were then brought, you know, to some other country where, like, older technologies are more acceptable. But the thing is, NES is old school no matter where you go. Like, if they haven't seen NES games yet, it's because they don't have electricity.
Yeah.
And they're not running these games no matter what. So I just thought it was interesting to mention. A lot of little news bits like this have happened lately, but, like, nothing that I'm actually interested in enough to discuss. Nothing I think you guys would want to hear. But 60,000 copies of games were taken down by the FBI. Maybe we should discuss the fact that the FBI is spending their time on doing this. But, again, maybe they should have done it. Or I guess they should have. I just don't care. All right, so, man, I got nothing else. I'm going to tell you that we're going to be at E3 in a month, and we are going to have Rob Smith from Official Xbox Gaming Magazine, or Official Xbox Magazine, on the show to talk about going to E3 and how he pulls it off, the press coverage every year. And apparently he's a veteran. We are also going to try and get someone from AGEA, the company that's putting together the physics processing unit, to come onto the show and answer our questions and your questions on what this thing is really going to do for the game industry. For now, I'm ready to get out of here.
You better be bringing me back some free stuff from E3, because I so want to go, and I would so love to go, but
you can come, man. I'm not bringing you any TVs, though. TVs are all mine.
I'll just break into your house. I know where you live.
All right. Well, anyway.
And I know where you are every day, every Sunday from 1 to 2.
All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Check out chatterboxgameshow.com for all the latest news about what's going on our show. You've been listening to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show.
You got about another 20 seconds.
On News KFNX.
Keep talking.
What? News Talk Radio? I'm going.
No, you're not.
I'm out of here.
I'm not letting you
play the music.
No.
We're done.
No, we're not done.
Sean.
Sean, call.
Come back.
Sean.
We're out of here, everybody.
We miss you, Sean.
Bye-bye, everybody.
All right.
Thank you for tuning in to Chatterbox with Alon and Don. Tune in next week for more tips and info on the latest and greatest in video gaming. The opinions expressed during this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of KFNX or North American Broadcasting Company, Inc.